One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
What's up?
And Robert Timothy on the soundboard.
How you doing?
If I sound a little stuffy, I apologize. I got a what I thought was a sinus infection, turned out to be a double ear infection.
Did you? Was it just me, or did you think it was going to be like, turned out to be a crayon? I had put a crayon up there without thinking.
A couple times a week, I do a sinus rinse, you know? And
really?
Yeah.
Why?
Cocaine.
Okay.
I was going to say, he does it with cocaine, actually.
Yeah. No.
Literally, that's the best answer I've ever heard, because you'll hear people like, I like to rinse out my sinus every once in a while. You know, really just cleanse myself. I'm like, shut the fuck up. If you have a, cocaine, that's reasonable.
No, but no, for real, I do like to rinse it out. I started doing it when I worked in ear, nose, and throat a million years ago.
Okay.
One of the nurses suggested it. Ever since then, I've been doing it 2-3 times a week, and I like it. It's just enjoyable to me.
Interesting.
I squeezed too hard, apparently, this time. And the water shot up and hit like my eardrum, and it was a whole fiasco. Didn't realize it happened. And then all of a sudden, on Saturday night, I was home watching TV with Aaron, and this incredible pressure, I guess the tubes in my ears just decided to seal up, and everything was blocked off. My sinus cavity started filling up like a balloon and would not release. And Bobby, I have a science question for you.
Well, first of all, just stop fucking with yourself. Like, this is an easy... I feel like these are the dudes who get the big hoop earrings and then their ear gets torn off and they're wondering what happened. And it's like, just stop with the fucking giant earplugs.
What? How do you mean? How does that relate to this? I don't understand. I don't follow you.
Stuff.
You just didn't rinse it.
Yeah,
constantly.
Just leave it. Just leave it be, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, that's in the past now.
Okay,
but fair enough.
Lesson learned.
Before I had your sage advice.
It's not sage advice. Just stop shooting saline in your face.
The fucking the pressure behind my face starts becoming unbearable. And
oh, that's a horrible feeling.
Again, when I worked in ear, nose, and throat, you know, there's patients that would come in like that had been dealing this for days, and they literally said, I'm going to kill myself. I can't deal with this. I'm always I was always like, oh, shut up, you big baby. I felt that. I was like, if there was a gun in this house, I would fucking think about it. And here's the science question I have for you.
What angle should he hold the gun?
Go for the pons or the mandula.
I don't know what nerves are behind your face.
Right.
But it was triggering the most irrational anger I've ever felt in my life. Like, I mean, my sweet little Beagle Rufus. He can sense.
Rest in peace.
He can sense when you're not well, and he comes up to you with this look of like, "What can I do?" You know that he literally has this face of like, "Is everything okay? And can I help?" And just looking at his sweet face, I wanted to kick him. I wanted to. Punt him like a football, and like I hated the fact my house existed, and I wanted to shout at Aaron for no reason. So I became like, I was in the other room, just like squeezing on my head in agony. And Aaron, I was like the reluctant werewolf in the movie, like that's about to change, because Aaron's coming in like, "Babe, are you okay?" I'm like, "Get out of here! It's not safe. Get away. Save yourself."
First of all, I feel like you're describing me every time I go a week without smoking pot. But second of all, I don't even think it has to be anything magic. I think you're just in such horrible discomfort the entire time that, like, of course you're going to be in a bad mood and you're going to be short-tempered. And there's
no, this goes beyond bad mood.
I think it just revealed his true self.
the veneer went away. You're barely holding it all together at any moment. And
believe me, I understand bad mood, and this was different. This was like triggering these irrational thoughts of rage, and I don't know.
Interesting.
And it was like, I felt like some nerve was being pushed on that was flat out making me a different person. Scary.
You're a modern day saline nasal induced Phineas Gage. If you guys know Phineas Gage?
No one does. Move on.
Phineas
you
Gage. Should
have gone Jekyll and Hyde. We all know that one.
No, everybody knows Phineas Gage. Okay, Phineas Gage is this famous case of an 1800s Victorian gentleman, very, very like upstanding, gentlemanly type. And his job.
I gathered that from the first.
He was working on the railroad. His job was to basically take explosives that when they're trying to blow up rocks, they would
drill. Is this where the snore sound effect comes in?
They would drill holes in the rock, and his job was to take a metal pole and pound explosives down into it so the that could blow it up. Well, one time this guy forgot to put the wadding in.
Why did you say the guy got a rod through his head? That's what people know. Nobody knows his name.
One time when he was trying to pound this down, he forgot to put the wadding in. He hit it. He triggered on the spark on the side of the rock with the metal pole. It shot off the gunpowder while the pole was still in there, and he was there. It shot the pole, this 6-foot metal pole, through his skull from the bottom through the top, and it basically took out a bunch of the regulatory parts of his brain. So he went from being this like Victorian gentleman to just kind of an asshole and just...
Oh, yeah, he got a rod through his head.
Yeah, that's going to make anybody an asshole,
well,
I think.
No, it literally changed his entire personality. And that was one of the first cases where we started to learn, oh, your personality is directly tied to parts of your brain, like physical parts of your brain.
Uh-huh.
Maybe your pressure was like pushing on that neocortex area that usually regulates your anger. And now you've just become the Phineas Gage of the modern day.
Yeah, dude. it was frightening, man. Bobby, I saw your car when we were walking in.
Yeah, what's
your front end's all fucked up. What happened there?
Jesus Christ, dude. I had the worst day yesterday / best day. So I'm getting ready for this big field school where I'm taking a bunch of UCSD students out and teach them how to do archaeology this summer. And so I was going to...
Mass grave robbing.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that we're going to do is fly these drones. So I needed to get good at flying a drone, which I've used for a long time, but I've never been the pilot. I've always been the photographer. And I need to get a drone license. So I spent all week cramming for this insanely and hard...
This might be the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
Drone licenses are new, right? Because like people were like just using them as toys and fucking with airplanes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's super hard to get. It's really hard. It's
really?
Basically taking a pilot's test, and it's super difficult. So
I was talking to him before you got here, Ryan. There's no practical test.
No, there's no. You're not.
There's
actually
no
flying
skill
a drone.
Test.
You're actually doing multiple.
Is it like the DMV? And you sit next to a grumpy guy in a tie that's drinking coffee that looks like James Avery, and he's like, all right, now take it up to 200. All right.
It's very similar, except the DMV test, I think it has like a 94% pass rate, the DMV test. The drone test has a 21% pass rate. So like it's a pretty fucking hard test. And taking it are already pilots. Usually.
Hold on. How high is the DMV?
It's like 94. 92, the written test.
Okay, that needs to change.
Yeah, I've said that for a long time.
We need the DMV test to be more like the drone test and
exactly.
Get some of these fucking banana cakes off the goddamn road.
And the driving part should be more like the driving motorcycle part, which is insanely hard, too.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway,
you don't need a drone license.
You do. Because
you don't.
You do, because I'm functioning on a federal grant, so they'll need to see the drone license before they'll pay for everything. So, and you just do nowadays anyway, too.
I'm always baffled at which laws you respect and which ones you're like, this doesn't apply to
me. He'll impersonate an officer of the law, but to fly his little model airplane, he's by the book.
That's different. I've got morals. I'm not going to fly a drone without a license. Anyway, so I went to go do it. I passed this test. Not only do I pass it, I fucking do super, super well. And I'm really psyched, so I'm coming home. Now I have to run to UCSD. We have a new crop of students coming in to learn about the field school. I'm driving to UCSD. I'm doing that thing you do in your car where you got the music blaring. You're singing along as loud as you can. You're psyched as fuck. You're like swerving in the lanes just for fun.
No.
I don't think you're doing that.
Yeah. All right, you lost me, but go ahead.
Just throwing the e-brake on.
Story's starting to make sense now.
So I'm doing like 80 on the freeway.
You're playing peekaboo.
I'm doing like 80 on the freeway on I-8 heading west towards UCSD. And very busy freeway for those of you guys who don't know. It's like 10 lanes at that point, and very busy, like 3 p.m., so there's a lot of people on the road, decent amount of people, and having a blast, and then all of a sudden, I hear one of the loudest noises I've ever heard in my life, and all I can see is jet black in front of me, and what had happened was my hood flew up mid-driving, and just completely smashed into the car and completely obscured the windshield at 80 miles an hour in traffic on the 8. And this moment of just like, well, wow, this is one of those interesting ways to die. Like, this is one of those, hey, how did he go? Just driving on the 8, the hood
flew
up.
So this is how it ends. Like, you were thinking of what your legacy would be.
Right? I was like, at least I passed that drone test beforehand.
He was disappointed he couldn't show off his drone skills to the class. He's like, no, not yet.
And
drone never saw France.
In doing a mixture of like peeking in that little spot at the bottom that you can see through and doing the Ace Ventura head out the window thing, I was able to get the thing off the freeway onto the road, latch it and get it back on. But now I have to figure out what to do. I have to replace my hood and do all that kind of stuff.
Wait, you didn't hit anyone?
No.
Then how'd the front end get all screwed up like that?
It's just the hood from flying up and bending backwards over the car.
Oh.
Now, there was no contact with another vehicle whatsoever, but it was a terrifying thing to have happen. Just so you guys all know.
And you just bought that car off of somebody, right?
He needs
a phone call.
I've had it for more than a year. You know, it is what it is. I do love that fucking car, and so I got it like exactly how I want it, and right then I have that happen. So, not a big deal. I'll have to get the hood. I'll have to get a new hood or whatever, but seriously, when you're driving driving down the freeway, just know at any given time, your hook could just fly up and cover the fucking windshield.
If you're jamming out, swerving, pulling all the levers underneath the dashboard.
Try to spin around, drive with your feet, just see if you can do it. Bobby, I got a little something for you that you might enjoy. I realized something that I've not really discussed in this show, but it always has been. I am a different kind of vigilante than you.
Okay.
I am a customer vigilante in that I like to police my fellow customers.
Okay.
If they're harassing the people that work at that establishment, they're just trying to do their job.
I get on board with that too.
I'm a huge fan of this type of vigilante justice.
And it's not even like a moral thing. You know, it's more of a selfish thing because as any regular listener of this show, and you guys know, I worked on every shitty job there was and have been abused by every kind of customer there is.
Yeah.
So I don't see this as like, you know, as like, oh, I'm going to pay it forward and do for this kid what no one did for me. It's more like, now I finally get to say something and not get fired.
Right.
It's my chance when I see someone just being unreasonable to like the clerk at CVS or something. It's like, here's what I wish I could have said when this guy did it to me. And I love it. It's cathartic. I said, like, and the look on their face, because these people that go in there, it's not just a frustrated customer that's not getting the help they need. It's just the people that like, this is their chance to feel like a big man or a big woman or very important.
Somebody has to listen to them. Because they're getting paid to do it, so they're going to take
super entitled.
Yes, they never will be Ari from Entourage, but this is their chance to really feel like it and call someone a moron.
To me, this is one of the most satisfying forms of vigilante justice because you are doing the right thing. You're usually helping not just you, not just the person being harassed, but usually that person harassing them is also kind of wasting everybody else's time who's waiting in line or whatever. And that is one of the most satisfying things. Every time I do that, I feel like Batman.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I came in, I righted a wrong. I wasn't the one getting robbed. He was robbing some poor old lady. I came in and stopped the purse snatching.
Yes, and you know, they're bullies because they know this kid can't say boo or whoever it is.
Yeah.
They can't say, hey, man, fuck you, you know?
Right.
Because they'll be homeless in 3 weeks if they do that. So with that knowledge that they decide to unload on these people, when all of a sudden someone else in line that they can't do shit to says, hey, lady, why don't you shut the fuck up and leave that kid alone? They don't know. It looks like they just got hit in the face with a sock full of pennies.
I'm so excited about this story. I'm gonna hear this right.
Now, on the other hand, if I feel that the employees have become complacent and are now abusing customers, I go the other way.
Okay.
Okay. So then
I rob the place.
I go from protecting the working man to nightmare customer real fucking quick. So
Shores just likes to yell at everybody.
Hold on.
Customers, employees, no one is safe.
My name.
No one is safe.
Let's take a second to think of what the actual nightmare customer would be. Because I feel like it's the cashier's a little bit rude. Ryan's fourth in line. She's like, do you have your card? It's a chip. You need to put it in. Don't swipe. Like, just giving attitude. And at one point, Ryan just looks at her, slowly removes his pants, and defecates on the floor of the store. Nightmare customer! And walks out.
King of pranks! Anyways, I go to the CVS pharmacy. I'm going to pick up my medication for this issue I have. And it's been called in. I got confirmation. Yeah, not ready yet. I'm like, all right, no problem, man. I'm like, when can I come back? Couple hours. I'm like, all right. Come back 2 hours later. Hey, just here to pick up that prescription. Not ready yet. All right, when you might be ready? I'm in a lot of pain. Couple hours. I'm like, okay, all right. And by the way, I show unending patience too because I don't know how hard their life is.
Right.
So third time in a day. Hi, really need that medication. Yeah, try tomorrow. Now I'm being abused.
Is it the same guy the whole time?
Yes.
Wow.
So then I come back the next day, a couple hours. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll just wait for it then. And they do this move. I know this move. They try and scare you off like, well, it's going to be hours, and you're just going to be sitting there. That's because they don't want you to put the fucking sticks to them.
Yeah, you got to go back, and you got to go, that's okay, because when I wait around, it doesn't bother me at all. I can wait for hours. I just like to sing really loudly the entire time.
So that you see where my head's at.
The one problem is when I sing a lot, oftentimes I get very flatulent, so I just start farting as much as I can.
So that's when I decided, all right, and the guy's like, well, it's not going to be ready for hours. He did it like a, fuck you. You hold no cards here,
right,
sir.
Right.
So now I give him the look like, I could have been your best friend. I could have been your best customer. But now, Now you've made a very powerful enemy. So anyways, I sit, I'm like, so I decide there's a few ways you can go here. You can go harassing. I don't think that's good because then you kind of put yourself in the wrong and, you know, they have room to say this customer is being unruly. Yeah. I like to go semi-retarded and obnoxious. So I start with, what seat should I sit in? He's like, sir, you can see any seat you want. Yeah, but which one? Which one's best? He's like, sir, I have other customers here. I just need it. I'm going to sit in this one. Where's your bathroom? It's around the...
I'll just go here.
No, he goes, it's around the corner. And I go, I don't need to go. I just need to know where it is in case of emergency. Oh, no, my phone ran out of battery. Now what am I going to do? And all of a sudden, right then, I heard, pick up for Shores.
Oh, it's a great tactic. That type of vigilante justice is good. I like the type you brought up before, the type where you are actually defending the cashier,
yes,
or the person.
Yes.
I had one. I told you guys a story about taking my son to the ER and waiting in the ER.
Oh, yeah.
Realizing it was going to be really expensive and then running out to the local Rite Aid to go grab a thermometer so we could take his temperature and hopefully get him out of the waiting room before the doctor saw us. And again, driving super fast to get there, running into the store, grabbing the thermometer, running. And as I get in line, there is a shithoused guy, super drunk. This is like 11 at night. Wasted. Just stumbles into the Rite Aid. I'm first in line now. I'm waiting for them to finish up with one of the people they're on.
Bobby's waiting for them to finish up with me, who's sitting there going, excuse me, is there an outlet I can use?
I pooed in this bag. What should I do with it? No, so this guy was just shithouse. They're helping one customer before me. I'm ready to go. He walks in and just looks everywhere and goes, where's the bathroom? And they're like, actually, it's late, sir. The bathroom is closed. What? I had to go to the bathroom. And they're like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. It's closed. He's like, but well, where should I go? And like, you could see the woman getting frustrated. And so I just like, again, I'm super frustrated. I got to go. And so I just go, hey, get the fuck out. And he just looked super confused and then just turned and walked away. And in one of the best moments ever, because I was like, oh shit, was I just raging out because I'm a dad concerned about my son. I got to get back to the hospital. Except when I went up to the counter, she just goes, thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. I mean, fucking, that's what she wishes she could have said.
Right.
Yeah.
I do feel bad, though.
You're like a proxy for the employee. Like,
yeah.
They...
Recently, though, I did have a moment. I wasn't drunk, surprisingly. As I famously said in my act, I have a charge for urinating in public.
Yep.
I don't want another one of those. But sometimes when you got to go, you got to go. I was in North Park going store to store, like, I really gotta use your bathroom. And they're like, sorry, no dice. Next place.
Bobby's like, get the fuck out. So
finally, and I hated to do this, I went to like this hipster market they have over there, and like the cashier is like, sorry, it's for employees only. And I read her name tag, Sarah. I'm like, Sarah, I'm gonna level with you. I have a decision to make. And she's like, some way about how I said that, her eyes widened and she just slowly handed me the key to the bathroom.
Awesome.
It was just, I'm like, I'm out of options and your produce is right there. We're going to have to make this decision together.
Listen, I'll stock a couple shelves if I can just use the bathroom real quick.
Yeah. We'll work for bathroom. Yeah. I do like that.
I'll stock your dick, man.
I do like that vigilante justice. Oh, yeah,
play the theme song.
I actually got some of my own vigilante justice just this past weekend. We actually had to record Degenerates a little bit early last weekend because I had the March for Science on Saturday. Those of you guys who know might have heard, March for Science, huge deal across the nation. A bunch of different cities are holding their own ones. I tried to get in contact with...
I feel like you say it's a huge deal and it just, like, it's just...
Well,
I mean,
a lot of people. So, like, they're nerds, but there are a lot of people.
This is like the friend that's planning a big brunch, and it's like, it is the social event of the season.
They'll be mimosas.
She doesn't realize how no one cares.
So I contacted them back in January, the San Diego one. I was like, hey, San Diego Science, that's my gig, man. Let me be your MC. Let me do some comedy, or let me just be your host. Let me at least help you with your marketing or whatever else it is.
Like, hey, the grave robber's calling again.
Yeah.
What should we tell him?
And the guy who's
shut up about his drone.
The guy who's the head of the March for science is pretty cool. And he was like, yeah, totally. Yeah, like,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to. We could totally use you. But yeah, for some reason, I guess I pissed off the people in the rest of the people in the committee. They just unanimously voted me out every time. They're like, no, we don't want anything to do with him. Don't let him in the building. He's not allowed to come by. And they.
He's like the what about Bob for the March of Science? Peered in windows.
The head of the March of Science called me and goes, I don't know what to tell you. I just brought it up, except for me protesting for you. And I even gave, like, I gave them references from the museum, from the Reuben H. Fleet, from a bunch of people. They all just said, no way. Like, you can't be involved whatsoever.
And I'm going to stop right there. This sounds like a con job. The counselor doesn't even know who the fuck you are. Yeah. This guy has it out for you.
Yeah,
he's telling you he presented, but he was the one who's like, dude, we did not want
this guy in. No, no, no.
We don't want this guy in.
Here's what happened. The decision maker over there was like, no. Yeah. Let me tell you something. One night, I went into a Rite Aid, and I really had to pee. And this smug motherfucker.
So, anyway, I was persona non grata. I was not allowed to be doing my podcast there. I wouldn't be allowed to be an MC. I wasn't allowed to be involved whatsoever. And so I decided...
And so you don't know why.
I kind of have an idea. One of the guys...
Because you're annoying.
One of the guys... I think I pissed off one of the guys on the panel, but... So, long story short...
Those remarks about his wife may have been a little uncalled for.
Yeah. I dug up his grandmother.
And as for your wife, she looked like that when I got here. Long story short, for like a day, I got really sad. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I can't be part of this event that's super big about science.
I'm just picturing sitting in his backyard sadly flying his drone at low levels, just like bumping it into a wall.
Yeah,
just
over and over again. What's the purpose? And then I was like, you know what? Fuck them. It's a public event. Like, they can't keep me out.
Or can they?
So Damien and I show up the night before. We know they're having the thing at the waterfront park.
You set up a PA system, didn't you?
Basically, we showed up at the waterfront park. We parked my spy van in one of the spots that was right next to their loading spots. And then we showed up super early the next morning, parked my other car next to it. So now we have this like two parking space area right in the middle of their thing. We set up a live podcasting booth in the back of the van and we just start doing live podcasts and
it's guerrilla science happening. Anarchy!
And we're walking around interviewing people with a portable podcast set up around, making sure to go up in front of all the people that were on the March for Science board, like just letting them know, oh, by the way, we are here. Remember when you told us not to come here?
Just
we're
to show them they made the right decision.
Yes, exactly.
Not approving you.
Well, here's how bad they did it. This is why nerds can be great at certain things, but they fuck up at things in general. So last year was the first ever annual March for Science. In San Diego alone, 17,000 people showed up for this event. It was gigantic. It was the biggest thing that I had seen downtown. I know they had bigger ones, but it was huge. This year, zero marketing, really shitty attempts to get people there, no good speakers. When you went there, the person doing the MC job was basically reading 3x5 cards going, and our next presenter is a PhD researcher from the Scripps Institute. Like, no work whatsoever into it. And nobody did
no pizzazz, no showmanship,
and no marketing. If you like, my Facebook profile is all sciencey stuff, San Diego stuff. If anybody should have seen 1,000 Facebook ads, it was me. I saw nothing. Like, it was just shittily done. So it went from 17,000 people last year, and then these people got involved. I'm estimating, based on the numbers I saw, probably about 400 people. It was a ridiculous failure. It was laughably bad.
Miles, is that a drone carrying a banner that says you suck?
And I went up to the guy who was on our side, the kind of head of it, and I was like, so I'm guessing we should probably talk about you guys needing me next year because this is a fucking joke. And he's like, yeah.
It's so satisfying.
You know the movie The Mouse That Roared?
No.
It's an old movie where some shitty third world country, I don't know how it goes, but some shitty country was falling apart. And so like, hey, if we attack the U.S., the U.S. will come in and basically rebuild our country for us. And I think that's what they're doing to you. They're tricking you into thinking.
They negged me.
So except that you'll swoop in and save everything, and they won't have to do any work.
Except I was volunteering to do that from the beginning, so I don't know what they were gaining from this.
Also, I think this is just following how science is becoming uncool lately. Yeah. With all the flat earthers and people like that, just no one cares about science anymore.
I had that great satisfaction of telling them the entire time, watch out, the train is heading right for us. Watch out, let's get off the tracks. Hey guys, it's 2 months out. Can we get off the tracks? It's coming towards us. We should probably go. And then just watching the train hit them. So yeah, hopefully next year will be a little bit better. I'll get involved in it. But there was that great satisfaction of A, disobeying them and being like, oh, I can't do a live podcast here. I'm going to do it right in your face. And then B, watching them fail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, classic Bobby.
Ooh, I had a bit of an awkward dinner a few nights
ago.
Oh, that's
always fun.
Bad segue because I was out with Aaron, but that's not what made it awkward. So Aaron and I went to try this new Mexican restaurant near our house. It was great. We were having a good time. Waiter was a really nice guy. It was like a family-owned and operated place, you know. Towards the end of the meal, I'm like, should I get one more beer? She's like, yeah. The waiter's like, it's a good woman. She wants to get one more beer. Hey. And then towards the end.
The waiter's actually Italian. He's just being racist.
Yeah. There's an Italian waiter at a Mexican food restaurant.
Serving an Irish guy.
Yeah. It was the United Nations of culinary experience. So anyways, towards the end, he's like, so is this your girlfriend or wife? I'm like, it's my wife. And he's like, oh, I was married. She leaving me. She leaving me. 22 years. And then he sits down. He fucking sits down.
God.
He's like, she, you know what happened? 22 years. And then she start to work. She don't need my support no more. And then she start going out. And then out of nowhere, I still love her. And she served me papers. And our kids, we have kids. And they're so sad. I'm like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, would it be awkward to ask for more bread? And he just kept going. He's like, I try to move on. We separate 2 months. You know, I have a new girlfriend now.
This is his version of vigilante customer vengeance. Because he saw how happy you were. He's like, I'm going to take them down a peg.
I'm
going to sit down and tell him my story.
He's got a really interesting way of getting big tips. He's like, if I could just get enough sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mission accomplished.
That's one side of the story. Like, maybe she escaped a shitty relationship. Yes. Maybe she finally got away.
Well, honestly,
I was just thinking when you were saying that, when he's like, yeah, the yoke of my financial support was lifted and the bitch ran away.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he can't read social cues. Maybe that was part of it.
You should have flipped it, Ryan. You should have used his own tactic against him. You should have started tearing up and been like, I used to be a waiter, and I got fired, and this is reminding me of being a waiter.
No, I should have made it real awkward, like, I miss my ex, too. And watch Aaron storm out.
Oh, God. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, look what you did. So I was wondering, do you guys ever have a time where you ran into an oversharer that just made things very awkward?
I feel like that's the definition of most Facebook posts, but at least you aren't stuck in a room with them at that exact time.
Yeah, but you've never had one face-to-face? I've had several.
Yeah, I totally have.
They're just brutal.
I was starting a job one time when I was like 22. I was working as like the receptionist at a Fantastic Sam's hair place, and one of the barbers, this girl, she's like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Do you have a girlfriend? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I kind of have a boyfriend too. I can't tell my dad though, because he hit me in the face with a horseshoe and I had to go to the emergency room.
What?
And she maybe promised that I wouldn't get back with him, but now I have, because I don't want to start dating again. This is me meeting her for the first time.
And you go, how big was the horseshoe?
Yeah. Are we talking Lucky Charms or a real steed?
And was it on purpose, or did he just miss the little pole thing? And
well,
what did
you do?
This is exactly why when I'm out at a bar by myself waiting for people, I don't talk to anyone else at the bar.
Oh, right.
Because odds are it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
The one that sticks out in my mind that was the most recent was, this is probably about 6 months ago, I was walking my son in the stroller and we were in the supermarket. And the thing about like having a baby, anywhere you go, it's like open season for people to come up and be like, oh my God, this is an awesome baby. Can I hold him? Can I touch? Like, for whatever reason.
Can babies, I keep him?
Yeah, babies, especially with like women in the supermarket, it's a magnet. It draws them in and everybody comes in to say it. So you're used to people coming up and being like, oh, he's such a cute baby. Or, oh, look at him. Or how old is he? Blah, blah, blah. You get that all the time. So this one woman comes up to me in the produce section and she was like, oh my God, how old is he? I was like, he's 5 months. And she's like, oh, he's so big. It's so cute. My son died of SIDS. And I knew
you were going there. I knew that's where this was going.
Bobby, what is SIDS?
SIDS is sudden infant death syndrome, which where kids suddenly die. We've actually been finding more and more that a lot of the things we attributed to SIDS was just because parents used to put blankets in the crib with their kids, which we now know they suffocate themselves, and you can't have blankets or pillows in the crib. A lot of that we just called SIDS because we would just find a baby in the morning and be like, what happened here?
Listen, I know they're babies, but if a blanket can kill you, come on.
Yeah.
You were not long for this world anyway.
Yeah. But it was the most awkward, because how do you come back from that? Like, what do you be like? Well, I'm glad this one didn't. Like,
looks like you're not getting one of these.
Yeah.
You should ask how long hers lasted and be like, oh, did I beat your record? Or I want to ask you guys something real quick. Since when I got here a little bit early, Bobby made some snacks and offered me one. You're both on keto. How's that going?
Hey, wait. There were snacks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you missed that.
They were delicious.
What?
I think I might still have some. I'll give you some a little bit.
I don't want your charity anymore.
They're really good.
The polite thing to do would have been to just say, offer me what I fucking gave.
When you're six minutes late,
yeah,
you don't get snacks.
Yeah, snacks are for closers and people show up on time.
Fair enough. Keto's going okay. Like I said, I have a modified keto diet. I try.
It's not at all keto.
That's like my mom's version of modified Christianity, where she's like, you can break these commandments, you can do this stuff. God.
Well, except he has plenty of carbs and shit. It would be like if your mom's like, I'm a Christian, but I like to sacrifice children to the devil and pray to Hindu gods. That's what I go for.
That's part of the diet, too.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just cut out bread and grain and sugar as much as I can, except with beer.
Yeah. Or orange juice. occasionally candy.
I cut out orange juice. Okay, yeah, that's done, too, now. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I cheated for the first time the other day.
Her name was Robin.
Yeah. It felt pretty good, but then I realized I'm not into sugar as much anymore. So it's a good long-lasting effect, I guess, because when you haven't had sugar in a super long time and then you have it, you realize how shitty you feel afterwards. Like, it's a noticeable thing. You're like, fuck, I forgot. Or maybe you didn't even realize that this is how... Like, you actually get, like, a sugar hangover. And the same thing with if you have a whole bunch of carbs, and you don't even realize it because it's so normal, and then you stop getting them, and you do it one more time, you're like, fuck, this is bad for me.
If you don't stop bad-mouthing sugar, I'm going to have to ask you to step outside real quick.
Ooh, guys.
Hey, I have the biggest sweet tooth of anyone, buddy. Don't get me wrong, but it's fucking poison. Like, you have to be like, all right, this is delicious, and it's horrible for me.
Oh, you got sugar is poison, alcohol is poison, cocaine is poison. Would you not get off, Freddie? Like...
Yeah, nasal rinses too with this guy. By the way, guys, I meant to tell you, I have a Facebook friend who I don't know, but they've just started doing stand-up comedy.
Ooh, this should be a good start.
Are they worried about having to tour soon? Is that one of the problems?
Yes.
Are they giving advice?
I realized, I'm like, we always talk about the perspective on the show of comedians, like... One thing that comics never think about is the perspective from all the people in a person's life who starts out stand-up comedy that has to deal with all their bullshit. There should be a support group for people who have a friend that just started stand-up comedy. Because there is not a person more arrogant, condescending, and up their own ass and paranoid and annoying than someone in their first 2 years of stand-up. Like, I can imagine that support group. Like, people sitting there like cradling their cup of coffee, like, I just kept sending invites to shows. And then I finally went to one of these shows, and it was 30 comedians all doing 2 minutes apiece. And then I 3 hours later, he went up, he said his name, and it like he was done. It was over. And he sucked. He wasn't even good at saying his fucking name. And then the next day, he just sends me another invite like I wasn't at that fucking last show. It never ends.
Since you're one of my biggest fans now, I'm sure you'll want to come to my next show.
Yeah, right.
It's almost like an entertainment version of a pyramid scheme. Just like they never stop talking about, they're trying to get everybody in.
I guess it. And believe me, by the way, if you knew me the first 2 years, you can save it. I know I was guilty of all of this. So was everyone at this table.
Sure, and you have an inflated idea of how fast you're going to go and how good you are relative to other people, and you think, oh, I'm funny, so I can do this, and you don't realize that you could be born the funniest person in the world. It's fucking work and reps to get to a certain point. You think, well, I'm really funny. Everybody at the office thinks I'm hilarious. Everybody at school thinks I'm funny. I can slide right into stand-up and be, you know, I'll be a headliner in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. No, this person's already doing like little videos of themselves driving the gig. Yeah, it's me. I'm away to this gig. I just got added to. Yeah, get down there. Makes people laugh. Yeah.
Probably like, giving priceless advice too. Like, hey, you guys, you need to stop joking about this and this. Yeah. Stop doing this in your act.
That's another. I love the new comedian that's always on their Facebook page giving their sage advice they've learned over the last 4 fucking months.
There, and don't get me wrong, there can be sage advice that you would know as a comedian after 4 months. Like, for instance, great parking outside the comedy club. Let me tell you where I find it because I have to show up 7 times a week just to get 1 3-minute slot. So I'll tell you exactly where to park.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great parking. There's no one fucking there.
See, my first 2 years, I did it a weird way and kind of the wrong way, I think. I would only go to an open mic at one particular club once a week. I would go there, and I was married at the time, so my wife would usually go. And I didn't know, like, I just didn't understand that you're supposed to hang out and get to know everybody and socialize and whatever. So as soon as my set was done, my wife wanted to go, so we would just go. And I would just leave. And
to be fair, she wanted to go long before.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, I just didn't. So for 2 years of me doing this, I like didn't get to know anybody, didn't hang out, didn't socialize.
Let me ask you something, Dave. Was your wife supportive of comedy at all?
Oh, yeah. She was super supportive of me doing comedy, but then she kind of didn't give a fuck about anybody
else.
She's
like, get the fuck out of my house.
No, because you know what? It's really tough. I really feel bad for guys who have been married for a long time before they start stand-up,
right?
Because then they're at the mercy of how their wife feels about that.
Yeah.
You know, I had the luxury. I'd been a comic for like 5 years before I met my now wife, where I'm like, hey, listen, this is my job, and it takes priority over almost everything. I'm gone a lot. This is all you're agreeing to and signing up for. And they just have to either say yes or no to that, right?
Yeah, right.
But either way, if they're in the relationship, they knew going in.
Yeah.
These people, I feel so bad. These guys are like married for like 10 years, and they're like, my wife doesn't let me go out to clubs. I had to tell her I was working late. stupid.
God, that's so sad.
Yeah, could you imagine? And on top of that, like how unsupported you must feel if you're like, hey, this is the thing I found that I really love, and I can't believe it took me till I was, I don't know, 40 or whatever to figure it out, but I love this even if I just do open mics. And your wife's like, no.
Yeah. No,
your happiness is not that important.
I've had to watch like people's wives, and maybe this wasn't a good relationship in the first place, but tell them to their husband like right in front of me, like, you aren't very good.
Yeah.
You need to work on this. I'm like, well, that's great. That's great that you have that person, because she's right.
Right.
But some guys they never reach that next level because their wife is just treating it like a golf hobby. You know, it's like, oh no, you're not hitting the links again this week.
Yeah.
No, you already did it once last week. No, you're not taking the car for that. I feel terrible for them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to pair those wives up with the comedians who are too full of themselves when they first start. So what we do is we get this exchange program, kind of a mixture of like wife swap and last comic standing. And we get the people who just started out who want to give a lot of sage advice. And we sick these other guys' wives on them to be like, you're not good at this. I'm not letting you go to any more open mics.
Ooh, good reality show. Knock them down a peg. That's the reality show. Wouldn't that be a great show? I'm going to pitch this. You take some people that are smug and not that talented, and then you bring in a shrew of a wife to just let them know how much they suck. Oh, I would binge that on Sundays.
Even better, let's do, I got a larger version of this. Let's do a Truman Show type thing where we have a whole fake town filled with actors, and we just bring in narcissists out of their regular life to come stay like it's an Airbnb vacation, except everybody around them is brutally honest with what a piece of shit they are.
Yeah.
I like that.
Speaking of shitty narcissists, remember that awful bartender at Bar Pink during our UFC thing that I talked about?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So,
by the way, we couldn't say the name before, but tonight is the last Kumite there, and this show won't air until Tuesday, so say it away now.
Yes. The bartender at Bar Pink was that bitch I told you all about, where we did a show there, and she was just, every time someone would ask her for a drink, she'd roll her eyes and scoff. And she kept saying, when is this going to be over? I don't like this.
And I told you, I got there late. I tried to meet up with you because I had my own event, and I got there late. And even the door guy was an asshole.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is that thing still gone? I was like,
the door guy is a huge asshole. Some of the bartenders are absolutely horrible. The one that I work with happens to be quite nice. But the one that was there the night we tried to do the UFC event was, it was as if somebody said, oh, you think you're a bitch? I'm a bigger bitch. And she went, I'll show you.
Yeah. She was showing off how big a bitch she could possibly be. No, it was more like a game show. It was like, we'll give you $100 if you make everyone want to leave.
I like the idea of a game show. Be that bitch.
Yeah. Speaking of which, side tangent, there was a show called Boiling Point. Do you remember that? Where you try and make... So what would happen is there'd be someone in on it, but for instance, a cashier would be rude to you. They were actually an actor with the show, and if you could go like a full 3 minutes without like losing your temper, like they'd run out like, you've won $100, you know?
Oh, that's
and awesome. that was the prize too. It was like a laughably small amount, like $100. And there was one where if a couple would sit down at the pool, they'd have an actor as a creep come out and just start blatantly hitting on this guy's wife. Like, God, you're sexy. Like, what do those clothes look like off you, you know? And like, this one guy just sat there taking it, and they ran out like, congratulations, you didn't stop this guy from hitting on your wife. You get, the whole world knows what a little cuck, little weenus you are, and what not a man you are, and you get $100.
I fucking hate those shows.
Or he's super secure in his relationship. And,
I'd be like, dude, keep the hundo. Anyways.
Bobby, you lost your chance at 100 at that Rite Aid that one night. They were about to give you a check.
I wish I had drunk. I would stop trying to bang my wife in Rite Aid.
So anyways, back to Bar Pink. So there was a Ramones tribute there playing. So me and a couple of my friends and our wives came. And anyways, I'm telling them, I'm like, dude, if that bartender's working, you guys got to come to the bar and see what a miserable bitch she is. I'm going to even get like my cell phone out and videotape just so people believe me. Because there are some people like, come on, she wasn't that bad. Or what were you doing? Or something. Victim shaming.
Yeah, that is victim shaming. By the way, I like how this bar now, maybe this is part of their gig. Maybe they thought about this really hard. They're like, we don't want to pay the $1,200 to show a UFC fight. But if we could find something that would draw people in, they're like, what if we just have a bartender that's so needlessly bitchy that people have to come into the bar to see how bad she is?
Yes, yeah. They
she's essentially the entertainment.
If she lives up to the hype. So I'm like, okay, I'm finally going to get my vindication. They're going to see how horrible she is. She was working. I'm like, yes, here we go. I walk up to the bar. We're both wearing Misfit shirts. She goes, hey, Misfits, hey, look, we're twins. I'm like, No, this is not. And so I'm like, okay, all right. She likes the Misfits, I like the Misfits, whatever. I'm like, hey, can I get a beer that's half Blood Orange, half Cali Creamin'? I'm like, oh, it's a special order, that'll fucking piss her off. She's like, that sounds yummy. Yeah, sure, no problem. And I'm like, you got it. They're like, oh, this is the one. I'm like, no, this is different. This is not what happened before.
And Rod Serling steps out. He's like a man confused by his own anger.
Yeah. And every time I
congratulations,
go there,
Ryan, you get $100.
I come back there. I'm like, here, I don't have change for this 20. Like, get my tip next time. No worries. I'm like, this is what's happening?
Ryan's like, I'm going to pay you in pennies.
Yeah. Now I become the nightmare customer just to set her off.
So the entire time she kept the happy face?
Yes. I don't know. And it was busy now. She was under stress.
I guess that just proves that like you encounter a different person every time you're with a person based on the experiences that they had that day and their hormones and that they ate and how they feel and the whole nine yards. And sometimes you get UFC bartender and sometimes you get super happy bartender.
We're going back there. Best of three. Best of three.
She used to date an MMA fighter and he was abusive to her and that's why she was so mean to him.
Oh, yeah, because he's back.
You know what? She deserved every second of that. Now who's victim shaming? I can do that too. All right. By the time this airs, I will be in Seattle doing a gig at the Clearwater Casino. So if you are hearing this the day it airs and you're in the Seattle, Washington area, come on out to the Clearwater Casino. That's April 24th. On Saturday, April 28th, I'm at the Main Tap in El Cajon. And on May 8th, I will be at Lestat's in the Kensington area of San Diego. Guys, any shows?
Ooh, I'm doing the stats, but it's the day before this show airs. So if you can time travel, come back and see.
And I have a big show coming up. It's called Nerd Night in San Diego, June 9th. That's going to be a big multimedia stand-up comedy science presentation.
He wasn't invited. He's just crashing.
Yeah,
it.
I brought my van. I'm going to do it from the parking lot.
I will not be there whether or not I have something to do. All right. I am Ryan for Dave and Bobby. See you next week. Cruising with the twos.
Hey, get the fuck out.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.